Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 7, Episode 106, and it's a Saturday morning, and the Steelers have three new players that they added last night, so four players through the first three rounds of the draft. Dave, I'll tell you, it was a really fun night last night, and I'm sure a polarizing night for Steeler fans. A lot of interesting stuff about who was on the board, what positions were the Steelers going to go. But I have to say, still at the end of the day, I can still go back to what I said in January, say corner, edge rusher, running back were three positions they were going to go, and then they're going to have a wild card spot. Well, they didn't go in that order, but that's kind of what the Steelers came up with. And when we talked yesterday about needs, where would they go? What would the positions be? We're really right in the spot we thought, but I'm sure, as I imagine you agree, kind of how they did it, who they took, made for some interesting conversation.
Yeah, I think got to the end point there, but how they got there was, definitely a little bit different than the way I perceived it going. I kind of thought what was going to happen on Friday was I thought we'd see a cornerback, a safety, and potentially a wide receiver. That's kind of what I had penciled in my head. I think kind of my mock went roughly the same way there, especially after an edge rusher. My mock was ruined the moment an edge rusher went, or my final mock was when an edge rusher was taken in the first round, because that obviously, in round two, they're going to go a different direction than you did and all like that. But, the end game, as you kind of said, after the first four picks, ended up where we thought it would be. And, let's get right into talking about some of these picks here and start with their second round selection. They did end up going a wide receiver. I thought if they went wide receiver that they would go after Chris Godwin out of Penn State. In fact, he was still on the board, I believe, at that time. But no, they went a totally different direction with Juju Schuster-Smith out of USC.
Smith-Schuster.
See, I'm going to have problems with that already, trying to remember that. And I can't wait to try to spell that a few times. But
I think we should just come up with – I said this last night. We just need a good nickname. Good Juju or Juju S squared or JS double, something to make it easy to remember how exactly it goes.
Yeah, and for people that don't know a lot, and the initial reaction, David, from what I think I saw on Twitter on my end was, oh, I hate the pick. Should have been a corner. Should have been a safety. Who's this bum? That kind of stuff. I knew a little about Juju prior to the pick because Sean McCavney did a great breakdown for him on the site, a few weeks ago. So yeah, I had a good understanding. I watched a couple of the compilation games that you'll find out on Draft Breakdown and all. I really need to and want to dive a little bit deeper into his film. Still, it's too bad that we don't have an all 22 service yet for college football, because boy, when it comes to defensive backs and wide receivers, you really need that, because yeah, you can see the get offs and you can see the player when they're targeted, but you don't get a good look at what the kid actually can do as a route runner. So I want to dive a little bit deeper into that. For those that don't know, 6'1 3/8, 215 pounds. You want to talk about a kid, David? This kid really is a kid. 20 years old. In fact, he doesn't even turn 21 until November. So
youngest kid in the draft, I think the second youngest kid the Steelers have ever drafted. How about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And boy, Todd Haley said he likes him. You know, likes him young, you know, is happy to have him young. He says we're excited about it. He is a young guy. I think he's the youngest in the draft. As you know, in the last few years, we've had good success with young guys like that. We feel like we are getting them early enough to really make an impact on their development. He is a good sized receiver. He was very productive out there at USC. He is a really do it all guy. He can play inside, outside. If you had to say what he excelled at, I'd say his ability to catch the ball in combative situations, 50-50 balls as we call them, and he usually comes down with him. He's a really exciting guy, and we are excited to get him in here to work now. Now, prior to the draft, one or two draft analysts like to compare him to Anquan Boldin, who, by the way, you know, Todd Haley, of course, spent a few years with there in Arizona, and Todd Haley was asked about that. He says, I hate to compare guys. I coached Anquan, obviously, in Arizona. He's a great player. We're talking about a young player here who is just starting his career. I will say he is into football. He plays with great passion. You can see it on the tape when you watch him. Those are guys that I get excited about and we get excited about. So, you know, people are going to immediately look at Juju's combine numbers, David, and look at that 40-yard dash time of his.
Yep, 4.54. Yep.
You know, they're going to jump. You know, they're going to break out their jump to conclusions, Matt. And I don't know if you saw on Twitter earlier this morning. You know, you want to look at some great numbers and start playing the number measurables game and comparison and all. Go look at DeAndre Hopkins and the numbers. I put those numbers side by side, David, and if I hid the names on the two, would you be able to tell me which one was which?
Right, no doubt, Dave. And I looked at some of this, and obviously, you know, I went right to a guy that I loved coming out of college. You know, you're going to draw the comparisons because they went to the same school as Marquise Lee, and what his numbers looked like. He ran a 4.52 coming at the combine. Kind of some of his other combine numbers were similar. He's a guy who was tremendously productive in college. And he went 39th overall in the second round, taken by Jacksonville in 2014. I mean, none of these are fair comparisons just because you go to the same school. There's nothing that, you know, makes you a similar player. Look, Chris Godwin was on the board. That's something that he will forever be compared to how Godwin does. It's a little bit like when Sean Lee was on the board for the Steelers. You know, forever Sean Lee is a guy that local people will compare to you know, the guys the Steelers drafted around that time. It was a bit of a surprise. I think the point about him being 20, not turning 21 till November, is a huge deal. When you look at it now, the Steelers have 9 receivers with, you know, look, the depth chart at wide receiver is fascinating. We've talked about it a lot here on the podcast. I mean, and now the question is, you know, who's going to be on this Steeler team? Who can you guarantee will be on this Steeler team in 2019? And there are only 2 guys at wide receiver that I think you can say for certain these 2 guys will be on the team. And it's Antonio Brown and Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, those are the 2 guys. Because you look at it and you think about the depth chart right now, okay, AB is 1. Martavis Bryant is 2. We'll just start naming names now is really what we're doing. Eli Rogers, 3. Put Juju Smith-Schuster on because he's going to make the team. That's 4. And then you've got 5 guys kind of battling for spots here. Sammy Coates, Darius Heyward-Bey, who we've talked a lot about what his role is going to be. Kobe Hamilton, DeMarcus Ayers, and then a free agent, Justin Hunter. And we kind of make the assumption Justin Hunter is going to make the team. I don't know that we can make that assumption now. You might have a guy who signed, you know, 6 weeks ago, who you say, hey, thanks for coming. No room at the inn.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, I mean, well, I got that stat and posted several times, I think, over the years about guys that that Kevin Colbert signs during the prime signing period during free agency. You know, 89 out of 90 end up on the 53-man roster. But when you look at Justin Hunter's contract, there's you know, virtually nothing guaranteed in it. So right now, Justin Hunter is just a body, a fast body, one that can that can get separation. But let me tell you this, Justin Hunter is going to have to do a little bit more than just run fast and gain separation, I think, during training camp in order to make it to get a roster spot, because you Juju is a guy. I don't know about you, David. I'm not expecting Juju to start the season, you know, as a starter, and really, you know, it's going to probably take him quite a bit of while to see the field. But he is a guy that's physical enough that can probably give you some help on special teams. So right there, he's already possibly eating into Darius Hayward Bay, and you know, he might be able to kill two birds with one stone, if you know what I'm saying there. Martavis Bryant, we all hope and think Martavis Bryant's going to make this 53-man roster. Sammy Coates, you know.
Probably.
I wouldn't go bet my mortgage, if you know what I'm saying. Eli Rogers, you know.
Yeah, for sure. I think he's locked into making the roster.
You would think. You definitely wouldn't go gambling the house with DeMarcus Ayers.
I think you can write DeMarcus Ayers today onto the practice squad, and that means they may lose him.
Quite possibly. And Kobe Hamilton, you can forget about it. He's going to need an injury or something at this point. And it's going to be some interesting battles here. Now, the thing with Juju, you know, much like Nuke Hopkins, he's not a guy that's going to really run away from you that often. You know, he'll gain some separation on you. But, you know, how many times do you remember Nuke just flat out toasting people, David?
Yeah, no, I mean, and, you know, Nuke came out with more pedigree. But, you know, he's a look, here's the thing, and we'll get into the whole day here. But if I have a complaint about the draft, the guys, this is in terms of, you know, the Steelers, if you want high character guys and guys with will, as Mike Tomlin talked, if they could measure will, they must have found the meter, because they got guys with impeccable character who love to play football, who are great guys across the board with their picks over these 2 days. If you want the negative from me, it's they didn't go speed. None of these guys are burners. It is not a trait. When you list their traits, not one of them you're going to say speed.
David, you say pedigree with a guy like Nuke Hopkins. Would you define what you mean by that?
Well, I just think when I think pedigree, I think, I guess now when I think about it, I think about draft status. When he was coming out, I think it's, you know, production in college and kind of expectation. So at each point, I think there are different points in your career. It means different things when you're actually in the NFL. Then pedigree becomes kind of statistics and Pro Bowls.
Okay, now when you go back to, I already said those combine numbers.
Right.
And once again, it's not a good comparison. It's a lazy comparison, actually, for me to take Juju's combine numbers and put them up against DeAndre's, and the same direction I'm going to go here is also lazy, but I want to put the pick into perspective a little bit. DeAndre Hopkins at Clemson, David, 206 receptions for 3,020 yards and 27 touchdowns over the course of 3 seasons.
Almost identical, right?
Almost identical. Juju, 213 receptions, 3,092 yards, and 25 touchdowns. So, you know, let's give us – people want us to hot take this thing, David, I think, and want us to say – What do you guys, you know, talk me off the ledge here and tell me what you think about this pick. It's an understandable pick. Based on what I've seen, I'm not going to sit here and paint it good, bad, or indifferent at this point, because quite honestly, I've got a lot of a lot more tape to watch on Juju, but I think you should not look at these numbers. And look, he came out of a prime program at USC, and here and David, let me tell you one other thing real quick here that I thought about when I was trying to lay in bed and stare at the ceiling. Can you name me a few cornerbacks that Juju went up against during at college?
Well, obviously Fabian Moreau. You're going to start with Sidney Jones. You're going to go through the Pac-12 guys and Washington's Kevin King. I mean, I don't know how these teams matched up with each other. I haven't looked at the game tape either. But the Owuzie. I mean, the Pac-12 was loaded with good corners.
Against UCLA last season, 8 catches, 76 yards. Against Washington last year, 3 receptions, 41 yards. Who's another? Let's see. I'm trying.
Colorado.
Against Alabama, he didn't have a great game against Alabama. One catch, 9 yards. Now, how many?
And remember, the kid playing quarterback at Alabama is now the kid at Pitt. They hadn't made the change to Sam Darnold yet.
Colorado. Okay, good point there, David. Colorado. 5 catches, 113 yards. Do you remember Kevin Colbert saying something about, was it Colbert or Mike Tomlin last week said something about, you know, we look for quality of competition that these kids face as part of the equation too. So, you know, you go back to 2015 against Washington, 6 catches, 82 yards. UCLA, 6 catches, 85 yards. Against Colorado, you know, you get the picture here, right? So, I mean, I think the more and more that you dig into Juju Smith-Schuster in his career, it's an understandable pick. So, give us time to go.
So, you sound like you're trying to sell our listeners on the pick. So your perception is people really don't like it.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the perception is that they don't like who they took there. Look here. I don't know.
I think they don't know who he is yet. I think they're going by a name that none of them had in their book and looking at those combine numbers and saying, ah, crap.
Yeah, and I've had an affinity, like I said, for you know, USC receivers. You go back, Robert Woods, Marquise Lee was one of my favorite college players ever. So a couple things about Juju Smith-Schuster here. One, we had Richard Mann on with me, and I said, look, Richard is when you look at what he does, he's done everything at USC in terms of where he plays. And he said, look, if you watch, you know, he played strong side most of the time. He can play inside and out. I said, when he comes to camp, are you going to just say, look, you're the Z, learn the Z position and focus on that, and then we'll go from there? And he said, well, we'll have some of that. We don't want to throw too much at anybody. But he said he can play all 3 positions. He said, look, whatever we're going to call him, good Juju, played the he played the strong side. He said, well, of course, we've got Antonio Brown on the weak side, so he plays over there. So you can imagine that he's going to – and Martavis is going to be the Z receiver. He said I imagine that is the first spot he's going to learn, is learn the Z, and then he'll learn the slot. And they're going to work on both those types of things. When I think about what he's going to be over the next 2 or 3 years, he is going to be a possession receiver who works in the middle of the field. He's going to be a guy who is very good on contested catches. And this is why I think, you know, people are going to look at Chris Godwin and what he brings to the table, because I think that's Chris Godwin's strength as well. He is very much – Chris Godwin is a guy who is a bigger bodied guy who is not a burner, but, man, can he go get the ball. And that, you know, when you think about Smith-Schuster, this is going to be how he's going to have to make his name, because he's not, you know, look, when you think about speed for the Steelers, you've got, you know, start with Martavis. He is a speed guy. Sammy Coates is a speed guy. Darius Heyward-Bey is certainly a speed guy. Justin Hunter is a speed guy. Juju is not a speed guy. That's not what he's going to do. So it's going to be, you know, I'm curious, Dave, very curious, because at age 17, when he went to USC, he was getting on the field at age 18 and productive. I'm so curious to see how quickly he picks this stuff up and gets to the point where, is he going to play 10 snaps a game this year? and play a total of 150 snaps? Or by the end of the season, is he a guy who's going to have played 500 snaps? I think it's going to be fascinating to see what his learning curve is.
Yeah, I agree. And look, when you have a second-round pick invested in a player in today's NFL and you only have the player for 4 years, you got to try to find out pretty quick, right?
For sure.
You know, what this player can do, you know? So, you know, he's going to – we think he's going to see the field at some point this year, right? But we, you know, the thing is, you know, week one, week two, I would probably not, you know, maybe the second half of the season, if he can pick things up, then you get him out on the field. So if you get him out on the field, who's coming off though?
Well, right. You know, is he going to be the guy in four wide receiver sets? I think would be your question. If everybody's healthy, it's three guys on the field. We would assume we'll be in Rodgers in the slot and Martavis and AB on the outside. That seems to me to be a pretty logical assumption about how things are going to go. And then he's the next guy. So is he going to make it in four wide receiver sets? What's going to happen to Sammy Coates is also the huge wild card here. I mean, when you think about what Sammy Coates did the first 5 weeks of the season and then what he didn't do the rest of the way, you know, that's the wild card. So this is I don't want to say it too strongly here, but this is not a vote of confidence in Martavis Bryant or Sammy Coates. And the Steelers went receiver this year, and it leads me to believe that the Steelers are going to go receiver potentially very high next year because Martavis Bryant's not getting a second contract. No matter, you know, he can put up, you know, 80, 100, you know, 1,309 this year, and that'll be great for him when he gets a contract, but it ain't going to be with the Steelers. That's what this tells me.
Yeah, a little breaking news coming across right now, David, on this Saturday morning. Keenan Lewis is in town at the Steelers facility, probably taking a physical and talking to the team. Did you drop your drink there?
holy, good gracious. I mean, I don't know what that means about who they thought they were going to, you know, see at corner, what they were going to get. But, man, you know, I've been saying this for a long time. None of this stuff is good news for William Gay.
I'm not so. I'm still not concerned about William Gay, David, to be quite honest with you. Because look, and a perfect time to kind of segue into, you know, the next pick, Tennessee cornerback.
Yeah, let's just throw the guys taken off the board in the five or six picks before the Steelers took Juju. We had, you know, you go back up to the Steelers picking 30 in the round. OB Melifonwu, who the Steelers, I was told specifically, the Steelers had interest in. He goes off at 24 in that round. I don't think the Steelers were interested in Zach Cunningham. He did come in for a visit. Posich goes. He was an offensive lineman. Tanu Passignon, you talked about him, Dave. I think we're both surprised where he went going in the second round. He came in for a visit. Okay, so he goes off the board. And then Awuzier goes two picks before from the Cowboys, and Josh Jones, another guy. You know, I had listed five guys and four of them went off the board in that round in Josh Jones, the safety there. Marcus Williams and Kevin King also went earlier. So I was digging for Fabian Moreau. I was told by somebody on the staff that if Fabian Moreau had been there in the third round, he very likely could have been the pick. Obviously, he wasn't. He went a few picks before that in the third round. But those are just some of the guys who went off. And, you know, obviously there were plenty of corners on the board. But, you know, there were 10 defensive backs who went in that second round in front of the Steelers pick. And they obviously felt all the guys they had left, they had third or fourth round grades on, and they thought a lot of them would be there. And you know what? They were, because only two defensive backs went in the third round in front of the Steelers.
Boy, I was hoping it'd be interesting to see what would happen. I was hoping Josh Jones was going to slide one more spot. The Packers got him at 61 overall, and you know, my heart kind of sank a little bit when Josh Jones came off the board there, because, you know, as you said, a couple of the guys, and you know, look, we wrote up a lot of guys ahead of the start of the day that possible targets, and a lot of those guys came off the board in the second round there, and Josh Jones was obviously one of those guys. Do you think this was the Smith-Schuster pick was a result of, indeed, best player on the board that was just head and shoulders over another at maybe another position.
Yes, I do.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I think. Do you think Josh Jones would have been the pick had he been? I mean, look, we could play this all day, I guess. But do you think?
I think the two guys in front of him, Awuzie and Josh Jones, were certainly possible picks. Yes.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we'll really never know.
I know. I wish, you know, Todd or Mike or Kevin or somebody would keep a diary, so that, you know, 15 years from now after they're retired, you know, they would write that book, and maybe you and I'd be the only ones reading it, but man, we would read it with a lot of interest.
It most definitely would. All right. Do you want to talk a little bit about Cameron Sutton real quick here? And, you know, the third round pick, the Steelers finally got him a cornerback. Cameron Sutton is a guy that fortunately I know quite a bit about, because before he decided not to come out, over a year ago, he was being touted as a first round pick and mocked to the Steelers early on in that mock draft process. And he obviously decided to go back to Tennessee. A very productive player, ended up being a 4-year player at Tennessee. In fact, David, he started 45 games that he played at Tennessee. He started 127 tackles. He had 37 total passes defense. He had 7 interceptions. He is a guy that as far as I've watched, played mostly on the left side. You know, Carnell Lake talked about him. He can play both man and zone coverages. He is a guy that great makeup ability. I think that's one of the things that sticks out about him. If you beat him,
what do you mean by that? Why don't you define that? Do you mean character or ability to recover?
Recover ability. If you beat him off the line, he can get flipped around and find you real quick. So I think that's one of the attributes that's not going to go, or that's not going to be talked about enough with him. Obviously at 5'11" and a quarter, 188 pounds, you know, slightly undersized. It'll be interesting to see where he winds up outside or inside. But if I had to make a bet, they're gonna try to see what this kid can do in the nickel. Would be my best guess. He's a communicator. Bob Shoup, over a year ago, really had some great things to say about.
Let me jump in here because Bob is a friend of mine. We both went to Yale. I talked to him last night, and I asked for give me a description. Of Cam. This is literally what Bob texted me last night after the pick. Smart, tough, unselfish, versatile, does everything well, great worker, high character, real good football IQ.
Yeah, and going back to a quote from over a year ago, Bob Shoup says, "You'll have a hard time finding on film anytime he's misaligned or reading an improper key or playing bad technique." Make of that what you will of a defensive coordinator just talking up a young player. We'll see.
Two things. You know, here's a quote from Carnell Lake. He knows how to cover. He stays close. That's something we've been looking for in the draft. I mean, this is a guy, he can play press. He can mirror guys. What they like most about Sutton is his ability to run with guys. And that, it's that simple. And I don't disagree that he'll be given a shot in the nickel. Physically, there's some similarities here to Ross Cockrell. I think he will have a chance on day one to compete for that outside spot. Now, I don't think he'll start day one outside. I think this is Cockrell's job, and I think he'll be there day one. But he is going to get a chance to win that job in camp if he does, you know, if he's extraordinarily good at that. But yeah, he will also have a shot at the nickel. Look, Senquez Golson's going to get a shot at both these things as well, playing outside, playing inside. They're trying to figure it out. Again, an interesting pick because there were other guys on the board who, Myrick, Rasul Douglas went off a couple picks before that. And that, you know, again, when you're talking about guys around the Steelers pick who went, Shaquille Griffin, I know you liked him, Dave. He went just four picks before to the Seahawks. big, tall, you know, defensive, not sorry, 6'6", 200 pound defensive back from Central Florida. And then the pick two in front, Jordan Lewis, another guy who I think, you know, Steeler fans were familiar with. He goes to the Cowboys. Again, the Cowboys, you know, screwed up the Steelers draft plans maybe. So those are a couple guys around that pick that, you know, we'll pay attention to. I wouldn't have guessed it. Fabian Moreau went 13 picks before to Washington. So those are some of the guys who went earlier. I think I said two defensive backs. Obviously, there was maybe four in total who went off the board in that round before the Steelers pick.
Yeah, the thing with Sutton, shorter arms, you know, 30-inch arms, you know, that's him and Ross Cockrell, poor guys, don't have a lot to use to jam with.
Yeah, when you compare that, when you put things up like you did with Nuke, I mean, you know, he's going to match up a little bit with Ross.
More than likely, and I have not done that yet. Probably, maybe a little bit. I have to go look at the verticals and the broad jumps. So maybe a little bit more explosive than Ross. But even with that said, you look at a guy Cameron Sutton, and his vertical was 34 inches, and his broad jump was 10 feet. And you look at you know, at my guy Shaquille Griffin, who had a vertical of 38 and a half. And a broad jump of 11 feet. And, oh, yeah, Shaquille, his arms are 2 3/8 inches longer than Cameron Sutton. So, once again, it's dangerous to do by breaking these guys down by only their measurables, but you can kind of get a sense why, okay, over a year ago, Cameron Sutton was talked about as a possible first-round draft pick. Well, once people got the measuring stick on these guys and able to dig a little bit deeper into the tape, you can see why Cameron Sutton wound up being a third-round pick. Dave, you know, it's more important, you know, we do these mock drafts every year, and people say, when's your first mock going to be released? No way in hell will I ever release a mock draft before the Senior Bowl, because I, you know, some of these guys I want to get a good look, you know, what's their arm length, you know, measurables and stuff like that. You know, prime example, I think, you know, still on the board as we enter the final day of this draft, Carl Lawson, David, and you know, I kind of said that I thought Carl Lawson would dip into the second or third round because shorter stature, shorter arms, you know, not a great three cone time. The production was there, and of course he's got an injury history. You almost wonder if there's a medical red flag attached to Carl Lawson right now as well. But you know, I think measurables is a key part in trying to evaluate these players, you know, and obviously tape's the biggest, but you're not going to see a lot of 5'11", 188-pound cornerbacks with 30-inch arms going the first two rounds, right?
Yeah, right, of course. And you know, again, talking about guys before and after, we mentioned a couple guys before. Rasul Douglas was on the board from West Virginia. He's a guy that I thought would certainly be in play in the third round. If the Steelers didn't go corner in the second, he was, you know, one of the guys. He goes just five picks after that. And then a kid from Lamar was the other kid who went after Cam Sutton in that third round yesterday, along with Cordrea Tankersley from Clemson. So those are names that we had mentioned. Two of those names, the kid from Lamar, I wasn't familiar with. And then guys who were still on the board as we go into day three, Corn Elder would have been a guy that I think people are familiar with. Jalen Myrick is another guy. So, you know, those are the guys who were around at that point in time when the Steelers took Sutton. And, you know, what's interesting, Dave, is, you know, I don't know if we probably talk, maybe place too much emphasis on who visits or who we hear about, because obviously the Steelers are seeing all these guys in one form or another, and you can't go to every pro day, or you can't have, you know, Kevin at every pro day. You send different coaches, different places, different, you know, guys on the West Coast. We probably think that they're maybe less interested in, just geographically, it's probably harder to get to some of those things and back and do different stuff. So here early in some of these picks, I don't know if that throws us off the scent a little bit, but I think that clearly was some of it, is none of the three guys the Steelers took here in these first three picks came in for a visit.
Absolutely. And Juju said during his conference call that after having a meeting with the Steelers at the combine, that was the last time he heard from him. You know, so it just goes to show you sometimes. Look, it's not gonna stop us from trying to connect the dots.
Absolutely. Look, you're right. And it's just, I don't think, you know, one of the things is, I don't think we can, we shouldn't take it as a leading indicator if they don't use somebody. It's just, we didn't hear about it, or, you know, or the other thing is, who knows, Dave, maybe in the past 5 years, maybe they feel like they've connected the dots that other teams are seeing that as well. And so they said, you know, let's not show our hand quite as much. We don't need to, you know, have this kid in. We know enough. And I think with all these guys, they are such high character guys. You heard, hopefully you heard TJ Watt's press conference yesterday where he just talked about, you know, wanting to be a pro, you know, working at that every day. And I tweeted this out last night and it got quite a response. I said, you know, as I said to start the show, if you think it, one of the things that matters about who plays for your team, who your team's drafts, and you think character is an important thing, the Steelers get an A++ for guys who want to play football and are highly unlikely to be a disturbance, you know, cause any problems. These are all very high character, good people who are, you know, really committed to being good football players.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think the only true given when it comes to Kevin, first round draft picks and putting the pieces of this puzzle together. If Kevin Colbert goes to a pro day, a good chance there's a kid there that has strong considerations for a first round pick. Now, with that said, David, Kevin Colbert, I thought, described. Great. I'm hearing a little bit of echo there, throwing me off. Hello, today. I am the luckiest.
Let me unplug and plug. Let's see if that works any better now.
I am the luckiest. No, it is better now. Okay. The thing with Colbert and you know, good track record, and I thought he put it great talking the other day, saying, I want to go to pro days where I can see as many prospects as I can. You know, that's why he went to the Florida pro day. That's why he went to.
That's why you go to Alabama and not Temple.
Exactly. That's why you go to Alabama and not Temple. So it's not going to keep us from continuing trying to read into these things moving forward. You know, just you know, one of several things. But I think an example with Juju is you know, didn't appear as though there was a lot of interest there. I was a bit surprised that, you know, they bypassed Tankersley for a guy like Cameron Sutton. But, you know, there's a lot of intangibles that probably we don't know about character. He was a team captain there. Carnell Lake talked a lot about that as well, too. Obviously, he's a smarter kid. I think he's probably a lot smarter football-wise than Tankersley. Not long and not fast like Tankersley. So, you know, there was a reason why the Steelers had Sutton ranked higher than Tankersley. And quite honestly, I'm surprised Tankersley fell into the third round, David, because he was a height, weight, speed kind of guy out of a major college program as well. So it'll be interesting to kind of parallel the careers of those two players moving forward. I intend, after this draft gets over, to go back and try to find up all these past breakups that Cameron Sutton had. So look for extended breakdowns. Alex is obviously going to be doing stuff with that as well too. And without further ado, I sunk my gimme putt in the third, you know, with the second pick of the third round.
Yeah, this is fascinating because, look, let's just get it out of the way here. There's not a better guy. There's not a guy that people are rooting for more. There's not a higher character guy. It's just, you know, you want to go good people. James Conner is good people. There's just, I mean, so, you know, this was an interesting thing when we were talking about the pick on the radio, because we were getting some basically some intel that Conner might be the guy. And look, I'm on record as saying I liked Wayne Gallman. I liked Marlon Mack a lot. And I'll just go back to what I said at the start of the podcast here. For me, if there's a negative in this draft, it's about speed. So a couple things about James Conner. One is, obviously, this is not a sympathy pick. I don't think anybody who's a real football fan thinks it's a sympathy pick. But you know, there were some wise ass remarks on Twitter about that kind of stuff. Now, clearly James Conner was the guy at that point in time where they picked him, where they felt he was the running back who could most help their team. Now, when I was thinking about it, when I was, you know, talking about who the Steelers would take at this spot, what I thought would best suit the Steelers was a guy with speed who could get to the edge, who could maybe be a bit of a third down back. That's not what they drafted, so they want something different. James Conner is going to do two things. One is he can play special teams, bang, right out of the chute. Obviously, with D'Angelo Williams, you didn't have that. You did have it with Fitz Toussaint. Both those guys are most likely not on the team. D'Angelo is obviously not under contract. Fitz Toussaint's probably not going to make the team now. Niall Davis is making the team. James Conner's making the team. So you got a special teams guy that's really important in the overall conversation. And then James Conner's a guy who can come in and spell Le'Veon Bell. He can run between the tackles. He can catch the football out of the backfield. Again, the knock on James Conner, it's very simple. He's a bit upright. He's a physical runner. He is a power runner. He is not a fast runner. And analysts across the board will tell you, every one of them will tell you James Conner went higher than they thought. He's a bit of an overdraft. Now, again, if you want the flip side of that, the stuff you can't measure, James Conner is going to win on every single one of the categories of will, heart, whatever. If you saw Mike Tomlin's phone call to him, you know, gave him a lot of congratulations that said, get down here, we got work to do. You know, you're going to be part of this. We're going to try and get our next Super Bowl. So I'm sure it's an incredibly popular pick with a lot of people. And I'm sure a lot of people are going to kind of roll their eyes a little bit and say, what are they doing drafting the kid from across the hall?
They're going to sell a lot of James Conner jerseys, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, they are.
I'm not one of those guys that buys those jerseys, you know, at this stage in my life. But even I might decide. I'm trying to find out James Conner's. Oh, here it is. David, how many runs of 20 yards or more would you guess James Conner had last season?
Well, you know, that's a good question, because if you had asked me in his career, I would have had I'd have a pretty good number for you, because, you know, I think I've seen them all. I don't know that he had a lot of them at the beginning of last season, but I do always, when I think of James Conner, I think of, you know, 15-yard runs. I do think of that kind of stuff. So I don't know if the number is going to be extreme one way or the other. I assume that's why you're asking me. I'll say 10.
All right. Would you believe 19?
I would. I really would, because he is that guy. Now, I'll bet he didn't have a lot of 40-yard runs, but he had, you know, a lot of runs kind of getting through the line of scrimmage and getting into the secondary and running over a guy.
I'll have to dig for the 40. David, how many in 2014 do you think?
14. Well, you know, that was his monster season, so obviously I'm going to go above 19.
He actually had fewer. He had 11 runs of 20 yards or more. Now, he had 51 runs of 10 yards or more. Why did I pull this stat up and talking about it? Le'Veon Bell's not a 20-yard guy, is he?
No, and we've talked about that forever. Le'Veon Bell's not a home run hitter.
So give me a guy. You know what, David? Give me a guy that can create successful plays, right? And I'm talking about on first and 10, I want 4.5 yards, right? On second and 9, I want – what's 60% of 9, David?
5.4 yards.
That's what I want in those situations. I think, Jay, I want to go back and look at successful runs. Now, obviously, you know, college stats and all like that, you know, are hard to translate over into the NFL, especially when it comes to running backs. But, look, this is a guy that I think can kind of be a good thunder to Bell's lightning, if you will. Bell's a little bit more thunder than he is lightning, quite honestly. So thunder and bigger thunder, or whatever you want to phrase it. But I
think that's a very fair assessment.
I think these two can complement each other. And look, when you're in the game late, David, you have a a more than a touchdown lead and you're trying to burn out the clock and you want to punish some people on the other side of the football, I think James Conner is a guy that can do that for you. And quite honestly, you know, Le'Veon Bell runs between the tackles quite a lot, right? I mean, he runs they'll run the power and they'll pull those guards quite a bit. But, you know, he's such a patient runner, you know, I just think he's a good compliment. We'll see what happens from here on out. But I don't have a problem with that pick.
Yeah, look, it's not who I would have picked there. Very simply. You know, he's a Steeler. People are going to, rightly so, going to root really hard for him. The interesting thing now, when you think about the three Steeler backs, you know, if you lined them up for a race, now David's going to win the race. They don't have a pure speed guy. And the Steelers have drafted for speed a lot over the past couple of years. And, you know, the guy sent me, you know, I get a lot of the, you always get kind of the counter indicators. You look at some of the guys, you know, people want to point to Dre Archer. You can point to Sammy Coates. You can point to different guys. You can also point to Ryan Dazier, Artie Burns, Martavis Bryant. Look, you get good and bad with all draft picks. It is just one of many characteristics that we look at. No, I don't think anybody doubts in all of these four picks, all four of these picks, the kind of the work ethic and commitment to football of these guys is going to be first rate. And again, you know, you watch the Bengals take Joe Mixon, which, you know, we'll talk a lot about on Monday, I'm sure. Or Dalvin Cook goes to Minnesota and you say, you know, people say, wow, you know, could he be on your board? Would you want him on your team? You want all four of these guys on your team. You could say maybe you didn't want to take them where you took them. You might like other guys better, but you want these guys on your team.
These are Steeler players, right?
I think that's exactly what what they'd like to think. And I will go back to what we were talking about the other day, Dave, when you say we want to find a meter to measure heart and will. Well, they might have found it because that's what these guys, you know, aside from all the other things they bring, nobody will be questioning those things. And maybe some people don't value that. You know, maybe, you know, you'd rather have Joe Mixon. And Joe Mixon went a lot higher than John Connor. But – you know, you're not gonna worry about it with these guys.
When next time you roam around that facility, will you find that thing and take a picture of it? And
I certainly won't put it on Twitter because I don't want anybody else to see it. But I'll send it to you.
Well, we'll reverse engineer it. You know,
exactly. I'll send you a picture. And we'll figure it out.
Of course, I won't personally because I don't have the brains to be a reverse engineer. Speaking of engineers and rocket scientists and brain scientists and rocket surgeons, Joshua Dobbs today.
Let's hope not.
How about Nate Peterman? How about what is it?
I've got to tell you. So I get some intel while I'm sitting there from good sources. On the pick where they took Cam Sutton, I was told it might be Nate Peterman.
Yeah, I think Jerry Dulac put that out on Twitter as well, too. And how crazy would it be to have two kids? Look, I guess at this point there's a decent chance, David, that we could have two draft picks come from the same school this year because they already got the kid from Tennessee. They already got a kid from Pitt. So two of the quarterbacks that they've been looking at, Dobbs and Peterman, hey, they're out there right now, right? So,
Kaya on this pick here, and this fourth round pick again, it's not what I want. I'm very clear about that, and you've been pretty clear about it too. But Kaya, Dobbs, and Peterson are all in play on this pick.
It wouldn't surprise me a bit here if we're talking about a quarterback here in a little bit. We're running out of time here. We want to get this up so everybody can kind of listen to it. Maybe as the start of the fourth round gets on there. So David, I'll start closing up here if you don't mind. You can follow me on Twitter at Steelers Depot. You can follow David Todd on Twitter at David M Todd. Follow the show at Terrible Podcast. Email the show theterriblepodcast@gmail.com. If you like what we do, the hard work that we put in. Please go to SteelersDepot.com and hit that donate button upper right navigational bar. And David and I think Alex and I will probably maybe recap what happens on Saturday for a Sunday podcast. I'll give David the day off, and David and I maybe be back on it on Monday. What do you say, David?
Yeah, I'm sure we will have plenty to talk about Monday. We'll kind of recap, you know, what happens today. We'll also kind of you know, take a look around the league a little bit. I know when we did the Saturday podcast last year, I think we were on for about 2.5 hours, but it's pushing noon. The draft's going to start up again, so we do want to give you a chance and maybe more digestible sound bites to get started. So appreciate all the kind of the hitting on the site at SteelersDepot.com and all the feedback we got on our coverage. I hope you enjoyed that. I won't be on today. I'll kind of be kicking back with the rest of you and watching the picks and commenting on Twitter. So enjoy it as always. Thanks for listening to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.